Welcome to Fox Valley Church. My name is John Sitzler. I'm the lead pastor. I'm excited that you decided to listen to this message. Isaiah 61 states that we can be like great oak trees planted by the Lord. That's our goal for you. Yes, you. So as you listen to this message, be ready for what God wants to bring to your attention. I believe that you're going to encounter God as you listen. I really do. Are you ready? Let's discover what God has planned. That name, you know that where the name Jesus comes from? It's from the Hebrew word for Joshua. And if you remember the Bible at all, and maybe you're reading in our reading plan that we're doing here as a church, we're reading through the book of Joshua. And Joshua was a young man who was the assistant to Moses who led all of Israel. Joshua was the one who spent time with Moses as whenever Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God, Joshua went with him. The Bible even says that when Moses came out of the tabernacle, Joshua sometimes would stay in and be in the presence of God. Joshua was the one of only two that went in to scout out the land who came back with a good report. Joshua was the one who led the nation of Israel into victory after victory after victory in military campaigns. And the word Joshua and the word Jesus means, I am, meaning God, salvation. He's the one who saves us. Whatever you're going through, I agree with what Holly was saying, whatever you're going through, you just speak, say the I am of salvation. God, salvation, Jesus himself is going to save me through this. Can you guys appreciate our music team for leading us this morning? You know, I got to tell you this story. When I was first in ministry, I was serving at a church in Des Moines, Iowa. And I was on, I'm going to grab a visual aid here. This is what's called a microphone. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these before. But I want to let you in on a little secret. You can see the little green light on the microphone. That means there's power on to the microphone. But if you can, I don't know if you can see way up here, there's a little red right there. That's the safety. Because if you turn it up like this and it turns green, it's actually on. This is the mute button. So at my first church in our youth ministry, I had some great musicians and singers, and they could play and sing any song. Sometimes they would come to practice Wednesdays, because we had youth group on Wednesday nights. They would come to practice at like 5:30 or 6 on Wednesday for youth group. And they would come with a brand new song and say, we're doing this one tonight. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You guys haven't played this or sung this before. How are you going to? This is easy. And they could just play and do anything. It was amazing. The only problem was that they struggled in leading people into worship. Because I would look around as they're leading it musically, all of the teenagers would do, maybe if you've ever been around teenagers, I don't know if you try to avoid them. I love hanging out with them, so I don't do that. But a lot of times during the music time, this is what a teenager looks like. You know what? When they're at school, they kind of look like this. When you're trying to teach them something, they kind of look like this. But you know what? There's a lot going on in here. And it takes us to be in leadership because you know what happens? Sometimes on Sunday mornings when we start to sing, you know what adults look like? Do you know when I'm trying to preach and tell you something, do you know what sometimes you look like? I'm not trying to pick on people, but I was like, hey, I have no musical talent whatsoever. God has gifted people with music and I'm astounded by them. So what I thought of in our youth group, I was like, hey, I cannot sing a lick, I cannot play an instrument, but I know how to worship God. So what I did is I joined the music team having no ability whatsoever. And the only reason I could do that is because I was the team leader's boss. You know, if it was anybody else, okay, what instrument do you play, John? None. Well, how long have you been singing? We'll play a song and you sing. I said, I can't sing. Any real worship leader or music leader would be like, you're not on the team, buddy. I love you. Let's find another place for you to serve. So this is what I did, though. I said, well, I can't sing, I can't play, but I can worship God. So what I would do is I would flip the little switch to turn the mic on in between the songs, and I would say, let's praise the Lord. Let's just open up your mouth. Or during some of the fast songs, I'm like, all right, everybody, let's clap and clap. And I would get everybody going, and we'd be going that way, and we'd be doing that. And then whenever the singing part started, I would mute the microphone so no one could hear me. And I would be singing out just like this, and I would be all excited, but the microphone wasn't on. And I tried not to sing loud because I knew it was bad. But I would do it anyway. So I really appreciate our music team. And to be honest with you, I did that for probably 4 years in youth groups and in Sunday morning, because sometimes I would ask to lead on Sunday morning. I'm like, buddy, I can't sing. And then eventually I started to sing with the microphone on. But I always had a strong male vocal with me, and I would have them start the first note or two, and then I'd just join them in. And eventually, I had to practice. I would get on the piano, and I would plunk every single note I had to do, and I would kind of memorize the notes I had to sing, and I would try to match the piano notes as much as I could. And I don't know what happened, but I just love to worship God, and God is amazing. And today is all about praise. Today is what sometimes we call in church Palm Sunday. And we're going to look at the reason why we call it Palm Sunday. Pastor Daniel read that passage earlier, that when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem after he'd done a lot of amazing things, everybody was shouting and cheering, and it was a great, great time. But we are in our series called The Road to New Life. And we just started last week, and we discovered our Bible verse for this series that's going to go all the way through Easter, and it's out of Matthew chapter 7, and it says this: the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Man, the way to get to new life sounds hard. And if you've ever been walking the road to new life and you ran into some hard things, I want you to say amen. Amen. That means you agree, because I agree too. We've been through some hard things. Even when we give our life to Jesus and when we put our life into God's hands, we still face difficulties in life. But that's the road that we have to walk if we're going to get to new life. And today, we're talking about the high road. Because last week, we talked about how there's all these different kinds of roads. But this week, we're going to focus on the high road. And last week, we talked about... Oh, this is even better. Look at Luke 19, verse 28. It says this: after Jesus was telling a story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. Jesus was walking towards his future arrest, his future trial, his future torture, and his future crucifixion. And it didn't say that he was walking at the back of the crowd. It didn't say like, okay, you guys go ahead. I'll be there in a couple weeks. I want to kind of avoid this difficulty. But sometimes we like to avoid the difficulty. In fact, most of our life is built around that, right? How many have heating in your house, right? Because you don't want to chop wood all winter. You got the heater going on, so you have that going on, right? How many of you have heated seats in your car? I mean, that's just next level. You're right. One of the best things I ever got my wife ever was a remote car starter. She's always cold, so she can start her car early and it gets warm, so she gets in this all nice and warm. But there's a lot of things that we do to avoid feeling uncomfortable. But do you know what Jesus did? He said, I have to walk this difficult path and it's going to end in my death. And he says, I'm at the front. I am going to lead you all to where we need to go. I'm going to lead you to the road to new life. And so whatever challenge you're facing, and we talked about this last week, the conditions aren't always ideal on the road to life, but we can walk as a conqueror on the road to new life. And Jesus set that as our example. Think about the struggles that you have to go through. Are you the one out in front walking resolute toward where God has you to go? Or are we some of those that are kind of wandering? We're going to take a break over here. We're going to make it a little bit longer over here. We're going to stop and have a conversation over here. We're going to stop and do this thing over here. And eventually I'll get to where I need to go. But Jesus didn't do that. And so you can have a great confidence when you're facing struggles and trials that you can walk forward, because Jesus walked forward. He walked into death itself, and he beat it. So whatever you're walking into, you can walk towards it confidently. And that's what we talked about last week. And so what happens is, this is, what we call Palm Sunday, and Jesus was getting ready to go to his crucifixion, and as he's going, he's like, hey, he sends a couple of his disciples, his followers, into town. He said, hey, you're going to find a donkey and a colt tied up at this one spot. Go up there, grab the animals, bring them to me, and the two disciples went into town. They saw these two animals. They grabbed them, and the owner's like, what are you guys doing? And they just said, the master needs these, and so he brought them. He gave them the animals, and then Jesus got onto the donkey, and he's just going into town. And then this is what happens next. In Luke 19, verse 36, it says this, as Jesus rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for the wonderful miracles they had seen. Every one of his followers, everybody who was there, it wasn't just the 12 anymore. There was all these people that started coming as he's heading towards downtown. People are getting word and they're coming out of their homes, and the people are maybe hearing some noise, so they're coming from where their work is, and they're like, what is all the commotion? And somebody says, Jesus is coming down the road. So they join into the crowd, and people are already there. People had seen miracles. They had literally seen people healed. They had literally seen Jesus do miracles, whether it was feeding the 5,000 people with just a small lunch, or whether it was somebody who was really ill, or even people who had died. It said that in one portion, a lot of people came out because they had seen or heard about Lazarus who had died and how Jesus had brought him back to life. These people had seen for themselves the amazing thing that Jesus did, and so they're all praising God. They're just praising Jesus. They're like, Jesus is amazing. This whole thing, this is amazing. And it says in other accounts, why we call it Palm Sundays, because they would take down palm branches and they would wave them at Jesus just to kind of celebrate. It says they took off their coats or their outer garments, and they would lay them like kind of making an impromptu red carpet for the King of Kings coming into town. And then they would get these palm branches, and they're shouting and they're singing and they're celebrating. Can you imagine this huge parade coming into the city of Jerusalem? And this is what they said, verse 38. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. On the road to life, sometimes there are these high road moments. Sometimes on the road to life, yes, there's difficulties along the way, but sometimes there is a lot of fun. Sometimes there is a lot of joy. And sometimes we can choose joy. Sometimes joy is given to us supernaturally. But in every moment, we sang those songs today, whatever season, whatever place we find ourselves in, we can choose to praise the Lord. And all of these people had seen Jesus do amazing things. They had heard him talking about the kingdom of God. Their hopes were elevated and they were lifted and they were excited. And so everybody's shouting and praising the Lord as Jesus is just riding in on a donkey. Imagine if you had a parade for yourself. Imagine if all of the Fox Valley, instead of Flag Day or Christmas, it's Steve Warner Day. It's Brian Brazier Day. It's Kathy Schmidt Day. It's Eric Pulda Day. And the whole town comes out, and people are lined up along the sidewalks, and they see you coming. There's no candy being thrown here. Do you see this in the story? There's no giant flaming thing from the hot air balloon guy at Christmas parade. There's not even any school marching bands coming down. It's just you. And everybody is lined up like at Oktoberfest, and there's tons of people everywhere. And it's not about this, that, or the other thing. It's about you. The whole town, all of Jerusalem, is emptying to get onto this road where Jesus is, and everybody's celebrating together. That's what's going on here. They're doing all these amazing things. And what an amazing experience. It's an amazing experience. It's a little bit of a window to what we're going to see when Jesus returns. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, the first people who join the parade for Jesus are all the dead Christians. all of a sudden, out of all these graves, all kinds of people are going to start floating up into the sky. And those of us who are still alive when Jesus returns, all of a sudden, we're going to get shot up into the sky too. I don't know how he's going to work the ceiling thing. Maybe like Superman, you just break through. I don't know what's going to happen. But this is just a little bit of a taste of that. And Jesus is experiencing this great and this amazing moment. And they're saying this in verse 38. It says, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. They were excited about what Jesus meant and what he represented. And we can get into a lot of details, and we'll talk about that maybe another time. But it says that they were ready for finally peace. They didn't have peace. They wanted peace. They wanted God to return and bring peace. They wanted those Joshua days when they won victory after victory after victory. They wanted those moments where things were settled, where they were happy, where things were going well. They were tired of Roman oppression. They were tired of the way that the system and the culture was working. You ever experience anything like that in your life? Where government and culture and people aren't, and you have to deal with the consequences, and they just say, peace, Jesus is here, he's bringing peace. He's on this incredibly high point, and today we're talking about the high road. But if you've ever been on the high road, you know that things aren't always perfect, even on the high road. It says later on in Luke 19:41, it says this, but as Jesus came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. What is going on? He's at this incredible high point. Things are so amazing. Everybody's singing and shouting about the amazing things he did. Everybody's cheering him on. He's got the red carpet. Everybody's waving palm branches. They're all excited. And as he gets closer and closer, and he comes down the hill, and he's beginning to see the city, he doesn't begin to get a tear in his eye. He doesn't just kind of wipe with his sleeve. It says he begins to weep. Have you ever been there where you can't control the sobbing anymore? There's this huge parade for him, and he sees the city, and as he's riding along triumphant into the town on Palm Sunday, it says he begins to weep. And in verse 42, we see why. Jesus said, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace, but now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. He's weeping because everyone is praising him in his very own parade, but they didn't understand how to have peace with God. It says that peace was hidden from them. Now, sometimes we see that word hidden and we think that somebody took something from you and they hid it. Like, sometimes people will come to my office and take things, and I don't know that they took them because they're playing a joke on me, and I can't find it anywhere, and then later on they come out, hee-hee. But that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is, have you ever hidden something from yourself? Usually we don't do it on purpose, right? That's not usually our MO. I was like, ha-ha, I'm going to take my car keys. I've got a very important meeting. I've got to be at work early tomorrow, so I'm going to hide them somewhere, and then I'm going to forget where I put them. That's not how it works. When we hide stuff from ourselves, it's because we put it in the wrong spot. We put it in a spot we don't... My keys always go on my side of the dresser, on the top deck of the dresser. That's where my keys go. And if my keys aren't there, it's because I laid them down somewhere that I don't normally lay them down, and I forgot where it was. And then you have to retrace your steps and find where you're going. And then you remember you left it on top of the garbage can because you were carrying a bunch of stuff in and the groceries, and you didn't have room, and you just kind of dropped them on the thing. And that's what's going on here. All these people had heard about Jesus. They had heard him teach. They had heard him speak. They probably knew John the Baptist and what he was talking about, turning away from your way of life and trying to live God's way. It's called repentance, changing the way you live from your way, culture way, to God way, and doing that. They knew all these things, and they had seen him do miracles. Many of them had seen Lazarus come back to life. He literally came out of the grave, and they had seen it. And so they're celebrating, and they're saying all these amazing things, and they still don't get it. And I think this is what can happen to any one of us, is this. We can praise Jesus and still not experience peace. And if you're here today and you haven't fully given your life to Jesus, I know that you don't have peace. I know for sure you don't have peace with God. But even some of us who've given our lives to the Lord and we've been in church for a long time, you've probably been there on a Sunday or some other time when the music's playing and everybody's excited and you're not. When everybody's clapping and singing and raising their hands and even moving around a little bit, because even though we're Northeast Wisconsin white people, we move a little bit. Not much more than this. Because if you do more than this, somebody's like, what is that guy's problem? But people can be praising God, and maybe you've been in a church experience sometimes, or you're trying to read your Bible, or you're trying to pray, but you have so much going on inside of you that you're just not at peace. Because sometimes we can praise the Lord and still not be at peace with Him because maybe we're doing things we shouldn't be doing, or maybe because something else is going on in life that's just not at peace inside of us. Sometimes what can happen is that we get hard-hearted. That's kind of a churchy thing that we say, but this is what happens. If you're walking with the Lord for any length of time, if you grew up in church, or maybe you've been going to church for a while, or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, things can kind of get stale, just like in any relationship. If you don't cultivate, like Teresa and I were talking about, we've been married over 28 years, and there are times that it is high and low, and you got to work on that relationship if it's going to get better. But sometimes you're busy, sometimes you don't put as much effort in, sometimes the other person says something you don't like, or something happens outside of the home, and you bring it home, and the other person's got to deal with that thing, and the relationship begins to falter. And we can do that with God. We can get mad at God because of somebody else's bad behavior. We can get mad at God because He doesn't answer the prayer that we want, how we want, the way we want, and it's not happening fast enough. We can decide that even though I've given my life to God, I'm not going to spend any time with Him. I'll go to church on Sunday, but actually opening my Bible the rest of the week, putting on praise music. Do you know that Pastor Daniel puts all the songs for Sunday in a playlist, and you can listen to it before church? I was listening to it before. I got so pumped, Pastor Daniel, listening to that song, King of My Heart. Man, there are so many different things in there that you're never gonna let me down. And we're listening to other garbage, and we're letting it go into our ears, what we're watching on YouTube or what we're watching on the news or what this other music that we're listening to that is just garbage. And we don't cultivate our relationship with the Lord, and things begin to get stale, and then it makes it a lot easier to stay home from church. It makes it a lot easier to maybe skip reading my Bible this morning. It makes it a lot easier to choose what I'm going to listen to and let come into my mind, into my heart, instead of letting Him be the king of my heart and the wind in my sails. I'm going to grab for that, or I'm going to grab for that to try to fix what's in here. And we can become hard-hearted, and then we come to church even, because it's something that we typically do, and then we begin to praise, and then we kind of finally realize that there's something that's just not right in here. Like I said before, sometimes we look in the wrong place. We know that there's a problem, and therefore I'm a man of action, so I'm going to fix it. Without praying first, without looking at what the Bible would say that maybe I should do, without talking to my life group friends to say, is this a good decision? We just go out and we try to do it ourselves. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, often when I do it without praying, without consulting the Word, without talking to my friends, I usually am doing something wrong. Now, there's a lot of times I know what the right thing to do is, and I can do that, and you can too. But sometimes when we get ourselves to these places is because we're doing things that we think will make things better, but they don't. We're just trying to pacify the unrest inside of us. And sometimes it's about taking on the way that the world talks. And we allow our emotions and we allow the experiences to begin to make us who we are and how we react instead of saying, wait, I'm a child of God. If He is for me, who can ever be against me? I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit, and I'm not going to gratify my own human desires that are going to lead me down the wrong path. But when we decide to go our way, that doesn't pacify, it doesn't bring peace. In fact, it makes it worse. Sometimes we know better than the Lord, don't we? Some of you who are giggling along with me, you've been there like I have, right? Not only do I do my own way, but I read something in the Bible, I'm like, well, I'm not quite sure I agree with that one. I'm going to find that other one I like better. And usually that's when the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to us about something he wants us to start to work on, and we don't want to work on it anyway. And I say, I'm going to do it my way. Some of us, I mean, I don't know about you, but I try to be honest with myself. Sometimes, I have to take responsibility for the choices that I make. You know, it's not somebody else's fault when I do something that's wrong. You know whose fault that is? That's me. But a lot of times, the Lord puts, like, bright signs and sirens and people and Bible verses, and you've got three people talking to you about the same thing in 1 week, and that's the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention. You're like, I'm going to do it anyway. And sometimes we just blow by all the warning signs, and we're just going to do what we want, because the real answer is, ever since Adam and Eve, ever since Lucifer, I know better than you do. And let's be honest about it for a second. Sometimes it's the devil likes to cover all that up. He likes to try to minimize all of that stuff. He says, did God really say you couldn't do that? There's a little bit of a loophole over here. There's a little bit of a gray area over here. You can do that, and it'll still be okay. And you know what? We believe the lie. And then when we go to church and we try to praise God, or we try to start making our path back to God, or maybe we've got off the road and we're trying to get back on the road, or maybe we've never been on the road, and we have all this stuff inside of us where we're not at peace with God because of the things that we're doing. I came across this story as I was preparing for this week, and I think I've got a little picture up here for you guys. It says, 2 years after the Civil War, a man went to spend his vacation up in the mountains in North Carolina. He went up a mountain and came down a valley on the other side, and to his surprise, he saw a little cottage, and there was some cultivated land around it. And as he went up to the cabin, he knocked on the door, but the people inside, he knew there were people inside, they refused to open the door, even acknowledge him knocking on the door. Well, he just persisted and persisted, and finally, they opened the door to him, and it was two soldiers from the Confederate Army who ran off, and they were hiding from the conscription officer. They had not volunteered to fight in the war, but they were conscripted to fight in the war, and they deserted, and they were hiding. They were hiding in fear that entire time because they didn't want to have to go back to war, even though the war had been over for 2 years. Your peace has been declared for much longer than 2 years. And are you still living hiding because you don't want to go back to war? Are you going to take hold of it? So I want to talk to you about peace this morning. I mean, we've been talking about it a lot already, but I want to take some specific things from the Word, and we're going to go through some of these things kind of fast, but I want you to take you to what it says in John chapter 1. This is one of Jesus' best friends. He wrote this whole thing about his experience with Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 10, it says this, Jesus came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Verse 11, he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. It says in verse 12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. Do you know that not every human being is a child of God? We are created by God, but we are not a child of God. It says in verse 13, the very thing, they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Let's go back to verse 12 for just a second. All those who believed and accepted him. The world talks a lot about acceptance, but very rarely does the world talk about accepting Jesus Christ. And the problem with some of that is sometimes we have the same problem. Us churchy people have the same problem. Do we really accept everything that he says? Even those things that he says, like, you're going to go through difficulty. You're going to go through trial. Are we willing to accept that? Or when trials and difficulty come, we get off the road. Do we accept it when God says, I need you to change that behavior because it's ruining you and your relationships and your job? And you're like, I don't really know if I really want to make that change. Do we really accept the fact that he is the boss and you are not the boss? And of course, we say that on a Sunday in church, but when we live it out Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday night and Sunday when you leave here, do we really live that out? When John wrote this, years after Jesus went back up to heaven, he may have had Palm Sunday in mind. Because he wrote in there, he said, he came to his own people and they didn't recognize him and they rejected him. He may have been thinking about this glorious high road moment for Jesus, and he may have remembered, because he was probably following the donkey, he was probably close to Jesus, and he's following in this parade and he's getting excited about what Jesus is doing. And all of a sudden he looks and he sees up ahead, Jesus is on the donkey and he's kind of heaving his shoulders, and he gets a little bit closer and kind of sees what's going on, and he begins to see that maybe there's something glistening on his cheeks. And then he gets right up beside him and he sees Jesus weeping. And John says, a lot of us don't recognize Jesus and we don't accept Jesus. But if we believe in Jesus and we accept him as he says, not as we say, that's when we become children of God. That's the way to peace. And maybe you're here today and you're not quite sold on all this Jesus stuff. I want to tell you, if you start to believe that what the Bible says is actually true, that's the first step into becoming God's son and God's daughter. I'm going to tell you, it's pretty fun being God's son. It's pretty fun for our ladies to be God's daughter. But it also says not just to believe, but to accept. We have to receive what he says and not put our spin on what he says to make it palatable for us. And then you will be at peace with God. If you accept him, if you believe in him. John 14, this is what Jesus said about peace. I am leaving you a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus has a gift for us. But I would venture to guess that some of us have not either opened the gift or have not been using the gift. And the peace that he gives is a different kind of peace. And I believe in Christian counseling. I believe in going to the doctor. I believe in getting friends. I believe in having fun experiences. I believe in interpersonal reconciliation. I believe in all of these things. But there is a certain kind of peace that a human being cannot give to you. And you might be trying to find your peace in a relationship with somebody else. You may be trying to find your peace in your relationship with your kids. You may be trying to find your peace in a relationship with a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You may be trying to find your peace in your relationship with your boss or your sales team or that customer. You may be trying to find peace there. But I'm trying to tell you something. Jesus has a supernatural, miraculous gift he wants to give you. And it's a peace that is unlike anything the world can give you. It's available to us. And he wants to give it to us. It's a supernatural peace. John 16 says this, I have told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Sharice, if you can come. There is going to be on every high road while we're still on earth, there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way. But Jesus says, this is what I want to do when those bumps and bruises come. I want to encourage you to keep going. I want to instill courage in you when you're going through those things. I want to make sure that while you're going through all of these problems and you come to praise me and things aren't peaceful in your life, Jesus says, I want you to experience my peace anyway. He says, I want you to remember, like we talked about last week, even though the road is hard, we are still a conqueror. We are still victorious. Because Jesus said, whatever you've gone through, whatever you're going through, whatever happened in your past, whatever you're dealing with now, and whatever's coming your way, I've already beat it. We were talking about this in pre-service prayer this morning, that if we are obedient, we are successful. That doesn't mean you're going to close that deal tomorrow. That doesn't mean your spouse is going to treat you the way. That doesn't mean your kids or your parents are going to behave that way. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be 100% good, but you will have succeeded because you were obedient. Because success comes when Jesus arrives back. Success is not about our worldly success and what's going on. Our world is about walking the road that Jesus has called us to walk in obedience despite what's going on around us. And Jesus says, while that's happening, not only will you be successful, not only will you overcome, not only will you be able to get through, you're going to be able to experience something supernaturally that no human being can give you. It is this encouragement from Jesus himself and this peace that you can have that goes beyond your understanding. Paul writes in Colossians 3, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Now we can look at this a little bit, and I may be getting a little bit loose here. But when he's talking about living in peace, that means we got to reconcile with each other. But I also think that Jesus and what we've talked about today wants us to actually live in peace. Yes, with each other, but also have a life of peace. To live in a peaceful attitude even when everything is out of control. Jesus wants you to live with peace of mind whatever you're going through and at all times in your life. Yes, we don't deny that. We don't walk around and say, oh, I just got this horrible diagnosis, but I'm still at peace. Yeah, we can acknowledge the bad things that are going on, but we can say, you know what? God's going to get me through. Whatever comes in this life, I know that I'm more than a conqueror. I know that overwhelming victory is mine. I know that because I'm going through these problems, God still loves me. I know that even though I got to fight this battle, I can do it with the courage that Jesus has given me. I know that no matter what comes my way, every single day I can wake up, instead of waking up afraid of what's going to happen today, I can wake up confident and at peace and at rest because I live in the peace that only comes supernaturally from Jesus into my life. And I certainly know when I go to church on Sunday and it's time for the band to lead us in singing, I don't have to have this struggle of I have to physically make myself clap when it's clapping. I have to physically make myself raise my hands because I'm so uneasy on the inside. It's like, wait a second, I get to go to church and I get to clap and I get to raise my hands even though I'm getting put through it, even though it's so hard, even though it's so difficult. I am so confident in what God is about to do because he's going to bring me through one way or another. I know that he's coming back and I'm going to be one of those ones that he lifts up out of the depths of despair and he's going to bring me up. I know that no matter what is going on around me, it's going to be okay. Thousands of years ago, there was a parade for Jesus, a celebration. And Jesus deserved it because of all the great things he did and said. But the people throwing the parade were not at peace with God. Because we can praise Jesus and still not experience peace. And Jesus wants you not only to be on the high road and even go through the low times, to walk. He wants you to walk and live in peace as you're doing it. Even though the world might make you feel haggard, that doesn't mean you are. Even though it may not be working out the way you thought it would work out, that doesn't mean you're not successful. Things may be crumbling around you, and that's because they're making the wrong decisions. You can still choose to live in the peace of God, and it's a supernatural activity of Him, not of you and not of me. It's Jesus. He's the one who does it. Philippians 4:7 says this, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus." I've got another picture here. God's peace acts as an armed guard drawn up around the heart and the mind of His children so you don't have to walk in unrest. In the middle of that presidential motorcade is your heart. And surrounding that is God's guard of peace. In the middle of that presidential motorcade is your mind. And supernaturally, God's peace is bulletproof. God's peace has men and women ready to take action on your behalf and destroy what the enemy is trying to bring against you. God has the streets lined up with His peace to guard from anyone getting near your heart and your mind to try to rob you of the supernatural gift that Jesus wants us to live in. That's the peace of God. Pastor Daniel, you can bring the rest of the team. Here's the thing. It's too subtle for intellectual analysis, but it steals into and steadies our hearts. You cannot always understand it, but you can feel it. You can't get a hold of it with your head, but you can with your heart. You do not get the peace. The peace of God gets you. You don't even need to understand it to experience it. And blessed are they that have not understood and have yet experienced the peace of God. You may not be able to understand, but you can experience. So this is what I want us to do this morning. I want you to ask Jesus for the true peace as you praise Him. Maybe when that first song came on, this isn't my song. Oh, this is, you know, they're hyped and they're excited and they're doing that song. I'm just not there. And so you didn't enter into praise because you weren't at peace. Maybe even when we sang one of those songs, you're like, you know what? Those words don't really fit my real life because you're not experiencing the peace. But I want to tell you, you can experience the peace right here, right now. And I'm telling you, I can see your face. I know some of you have already been getting in on what the Holy Spirit's been doing already. Here's the thing you need to understand. Before I ever come to preach at you, the Holy Spirit's already been working in you. And He's just like, hey, John, I want you to tell them this because this is what I'm doing. I'm like, that sounds good. I can't bring peace to your life. I'm not even going to try. I can't even bring peace to my wife's life. You know what I'm saying? I'm usually the one causing the problems for her. I'm glad she loves Jesus. And He gives her peace even when I'm a knucklehead. And whenever we're going through problems together, and we've been through them, some of you know some of our stories, some of you don't know all of our stories, but man alive, there has never been a single moment that we did not know that God was at work, that we did not know. We knew all the time that God was walking with us and helping us to get through this. We knew Even when everybody else said it was something different, even well-meaning churchy people said, John, you're wrong. I had heard from God. I experienced supernaturally the peace of God, and I knew exactly what we needed to do. I knew exactly what we need, where we needed to go, because it was something that I experienced, and I knew it. Now, don't hear incorrect things. If you're not at peace, that doesn't mean you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. If you've got some things going on in life, that doesn't mean you're apart from God. It could be, but that's not the point. This is how you know you're apart from God. Is he the boss of your life or not? Do you believe what the Bible says about Jesus or not? Are you trying to turn and change to become like Jesus instead of your way or the world's way? That's how you know. And even on the road, even on the high road, there can be some upsetting things. Jesus experienced that. Jesus never had to be saved because he's the Savior. That's in his name. Yahweh saves. That's Jesus. And he still was weeping in that moment. There may be times where you're weeping. That doesn't mean you're not saved. And if you're not at peace, there may be some reasons why. You may be letting the circumstances lead you instead of Jesus leading you. And that covers all of us. Because if you haven't given your life to Jesus, he's not in control, and you're not letting that peace in. And if you're letting the circumstances be the boss, if you're letting the outside voices be the boss, you know, you need to go read the book of Jeremiah and what happened in his life. The whole culture was corrupt. The government was against him. They threw him into a cistern and a pit, and he sunk down into the mud. If you read about what their culture was actually like at that time, and yet he never stopped following God. And you can move forward. And if you read in the book of Lamentations, right in the middle, it's an actual lament. Right in the middle of that book, Jeremiah makes this amazing statement. Lamentations is a short book. You could read that easy this afternoon in about less than half an hour, I'm sure. I'm not going to give you the answer. I feel like not giving you the answer because I want to challenge you to go read that. Because sometimes it takes a little work. It doesn't take us work to get the supernatural peace of Jesus. That's what Jesus does. But we've got to do the act of turning out the voices. And we've got to do the act of praising and allowing the peace to come in. If you're in a battle and you feel unrest, Jesus wants to bring you that peace. And this is what I think. If we all just decided that we're going to accept the gift of Jesus and his peace, whether you've given your life to him or not, you can do that today. You can be doing that right now. Whether you're a Christian or you've been in church for any length of time and you're still not at peace today, or maybe you're somebody who walks around with the attitude of peace. Do you know what can happen when an entire church decides to act that way? This is what happens. You affect everybody else around you. Everybody around you, you know, you can bring the peace to the situation, or you can make it worse. But if you've got the supernatural peace of God, you can walk into your school, into your home, into your job, into that meeting, into that hospital, into that doctor's office. I can't tell you how many of our seniors tell me they go into the doctor's office, and before the doctor talks, they say, "Let's pray." And how many doctors say, "Let's pray"? Next time, do that. Whatever situation you find yourself in, pray and say, "Jesus, would you bring the supernatural peace here right now?" And can you imagine 150 people going into 150 neighborhoods and into 150 jobs and 150 schools, and we're the ones bringing peace to the situation? I think that's what God would have us do. To be people who bring peace to the situation. Yes, there are things that we need to confront, but we can do it peacefully. There can be disagreements, but we can do it peacefully. And it's Jesus doing it. So if you're here today and you're not at peace with Jesus because you haven't surrendered yet to him, I'm going to give you that chance right now. Would everybody bow your heads and close your eyes? And if you're here today, and you would like to, for the first time, because you're not at peace with God, you haven't surrendered your life to God, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, now's your chance. He brought you here today. He's got you watching online today. He wants to bring peace. This is what I'm going to do, just all across this room. We're going to do it quickly. If you want to be at peace with God, because you've never been at peace with God before, I just want you to real quick put up your hand in the air. No one's looking around but me. Just put your hand up in the air. Okay, I see your hand. Okay, I see yours too. Okay, I see yours too. Okay, I see yours too. Who else? You can be made right with God right here, right now. Okay, I see your hand too. You can put your hands down. Everybody put your hands down. Now everybody can look at me. The Bible says that if you make Jesus your Lord, you confess it. That means you believe it so much that you're telling everybody else about it, that you live for Jesus now. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Jesus comes in. It's called salvation. That we learned that Jesus' name means salvation. So I'm going to pray, lead you in a prayer, and everybody else is going to pray along. It's going to be real short, real easy. Are you guys ready? Let's pray. Just say, Jesus, I make you my Lord. You're my new boss. Not my way, not the world's way, your way. I believe you died for me, and God brought you back to life. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who gave their life to the Lord? The Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing right now over your decision, over the decision that you made today to give your life fully and completely to God. But there's still some of us who are kind of churchy, and we've gotten into that churchy thing where we'll begin to praise, but there's still that stuff that's not in there. I want you to experience something that maybe you don't understand, and maybe something that you don't truly have faith in quite yet. Can God actually put me at peace inside even though there's all this stuff? The answer is yes. Because if my God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can certainly work in your heart. Now, there still may be some work that the Holy Spirit has to do, but I want to give you a chance. I want to put you in a position where you can experience the peace of God as you praise. So would you stand with me? And the team's going to lead us in that song, and it's called Tremble. It says, peace. Bring it all to peace. And as we praise and we sing this song, I want you to make it your prayer. Don't say, John, give me peace. Don't turn to your spouse or your friend or your child and say, bring me peace. Say, Jesus, you have to do a supernatural, miraculous thing in me for me to experience that peace. Are you guys ready for this? Let's praise the Lord together. Would you do that with me? Like I said at the beginning, God had something specific to talk to you about today, and I'd encourage you to take a step right now. What is something you could actually do based on what God brought to your attention? It could be the action step that was brought out in the sermon, or it could be something different. Just take a step. The Bible says when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to participate in person during one of our Sunday worship services. In the meantime, to keep up with everything our church is doing, go to foxvalley.church or download our app and search Fox Valley Church wherever you get your apps. God bless you.